back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the flow. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, football, all that going on. But I'm taking a break every now and again to have myself a crab cake. It's all going to be presented by the Maryland Lottery on Friday. We're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. I have had a lot of crab cakes on this tour. Leonard Raskin, my dear friend from Raskin Global, said, you got to go to Pappas. So we're going to Pappas this week. We're going to be joined by former Oriole Mike Bordick. We're also going to be joined by John Kelly from Kelly & Associates, now a different company, Kelly. And there we're talking about biking around the city and doing some great things in the city. We're also going to be joined by Jim Rees, my pal from Offutt Kerman, fresh off of his Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives cameo. So yeah. It's going to be a big, big night at Pappas. And the kinds of friends that I invite out are guys like this, but he's too busy out doing the air thing right now. Welcome Martin Knott, our friend, sponsor, and a guy that helps me out of jams when my air conditioning and heating and air gets crazy. But had a change of life here since the plague, doing the new thing at V Air. You can find him out on the internet, and we bring him on from time to time to talk about this because, dude, I'm about to get my third shot, right? My Maryland Lottery friends, I would like to tell you that this mask is in retirement, but it's not. I wore it for the mayor along with our friend Don Moeller a couple weeks ago. Man, pandemic's still here, this Omicron thing coming on, and I think all of us concerned about indoor air quality in a way that maybe 24 months ago we weren't, right?
Without question. I mean, I think that one thing that we have, you know, found out is that in America, we have a ventilation problem. And as a result of that problem, you know, these sort of particles like float around in the air and people get sick and some people die. And, you know, it's this interesting. Somebody said to me the other day, you would never drink tainted water. Like if I gave you water and said, this isn't good for you, you wouldn't drink it. Yet people sit in buildings where air quality is really poor all day, every day, and there's not enough fresh air coming in, and we're all getting sick over it. And the more I learn about this and the more that I get experience with it, the more I realize how important the work that we're doing is and how we have the opportunity to improve the health, and not just the health, the mental health. There's just had a paper out of the Lieber Institute, which sits in West Baltimore in the EBDI, talking about indoor air quality and the links to indoor air quality and depression. And so indoor air quality and the links between indoor air quality and physical ailments that we as a species are experiencing is a real thing.
Well, I'm saying this. My wife's an engineer, and she worked up at Chuan Road, which is now what the McCormick new building is, right? And that building was old when she worked there 10 years ago when she had cancer the first time around. And by the second time around, her company was hoteling and getting rid of the building and all that. But she would always talk about, like, the air there, like that there was no ventilation, that sleepy on the job. Mm. And like, when you're oxygen deprived in that way, and whatever way that would be. And my example would be, like, I think about my elementary school that was built in 1924 that they just, Johnny O had me out over Colgate, and right, this brand new, beautiful building. And I thought of you, strangely enough, that day, because when I'm walking through there, I'm thinking about, like, a newfangled building built from scratch in 2019, 2021, in the modern vernacular, how much different the kids experience. It's not just the classroom and the books or the tablets or the phones they're using or whatever, you know, how they're doing the new math and all that stuff, but just in general, being in that environment all day. I remember the old environment, and yeah, I mean, we literally had a part of that school. It was 100 years old, that it reminded me of the old Christmas stories coming on, right? Like with the blackboard and the coat room behind and no windows and all of that. And I'm thinking about children, and I'm thinking about air in new places. I'm thinking about buildings that are brand new. The way someone like you would be thinking about a new school versus any old building that would have to be retrofitted, and how much better the experience will be in any new building because of people like you, right?
Well, we've got our product called Vision Air, which measures air exchanges, it measures humidity, it measures temperature, and it more, most importantly, measures the CO2 level. Okay. So let's talk about that for a second.
That's brain function, you know, right?
Well, it's everything, right? So we have only been living indoors for, you know, about 200 years, right? And like solid indoor spaces, right? And so,
as a, you know, species, we're a species. That's crazy, right?
We're a species, it. Right? Like all the other species that were put on this planet, you know, they didn't put buildings on the planet. They put species on the planet, right? And we were all used to having all the oxygen we ever needed to
trees
go and
that.
Function. And while the trees are, you know, doing their thing, taking carbon dioxide in and putting oxygen out, we're taking oxygen in, putting CO2 out. So there's a symbiotic relationship, you know, between us and the plant life on this planet. We count on each other. So, you know, if you want to think about, you know, nature and trees, they're actually really important. There's no other thing that like just sort of puts oxygen into the air, right?
Well, that's why we talk about the rainforest and right. Not just that, weather patterns, like all of that stuff we talk about, but oxygen, the thing that we need the most of to survive, the thing that creatures have been doing outdoors here for, you know, since the beginning of the planet, right?
That's exactly right. And every time that you don't have the right amount of oxygen coming into your body, your body starts to degrade and every system in your body starts to degrade, right? Like biology 101, every cell needs a certain amount of oxygen to perform its function. If it doesn't have that oxygen, it will not perform optimally, right? And so as you lose and deoxygenation happens, like think about classrooms. You got 28 kids in a room. There's no fresh air coming in. And sorry, there's no fresh air coming in. And they're like eating up the oxygen. And then kids are going home with headaches. And, you know, we've got issues indoors.
Well, headaches. I mean, I remember that as a kid to some degree and feeling like stale air and that sort of thing, especially in places where there's no windows to open, right?
So yeah, that's right.
I don't know percentage-wise in our culture, and certainly in an older city like Baltimore where some of the structures have lead paint, amongst other things that I'm sure you're familiar with, but just structures that were built a long time ago, what it would take to create any sort of newfangled, you know, something that's modern in an older building. I guess that's where you're coming. Tell me about your company and what kind of jobs you do today other than new buildings where you draw everything from scratch. But I think everything that's standing right now, even homes that were built 15, 20 years ago, maybe this wasn't in mind. But in a lot of homes, the windows open, right? I mean, in your house, you blow the farts off, as they say, open the windows in the spring. And maybe in the winter, you don't. Maybe you should once a week and let some fresh air in. But you've learned so much from the beginning. I mean, I would think 5 years ago, you weren't thinking about going into the air business, right?
Nobody was, right? And we didn't really get into the air business until this pandemic put us into the air business. And so, you know, we didn't have a situation where people were conscious about air. I said it in the beginning, you wouldn't drink water and that you knew was tainted, but breathing is something that you don't think about. We just breathe and we do it all day, every day. And we just breathe and we keep going and we don't have to think about it. Yet we're breathing things that are not good for us. Think about the number one.
That's how my wife got leukemia, right? Let's start with that. 9/11, you know, after that.
Yeah.
And I think back to five years ago, I went chasing Pearl Jam around Montana, which made me get involved in fly fishing, which I did this summer with Dan Rodericks and some others.
Yeah.
We saw our first ever legitimate turned a corner, a real forest fire, like a raging big sky plume of black and orange, and no one to put it out. No one lives within hundreds of miles of it. But the air that night, we were in Big Sky, Montana, and I'm sitting out having a beer outside, and it looked like it was snowing.
Right.
And I got back to my hotel room and I had soot in my nose when I blew my nose. It was, you could smell the char in the air like a forest fire. It's one of the first times in my life that I felt truly oxygen deprived. I felt like I am not getting enough oxygen here. I smell the smoke. I feel like I'm in a forest fire. You felt like a fireman, right? And you're out in the middle of Montana. You're not running from it. You're staying in your hotel. You wake up, you blow your nose, and you're like, what the hell is in the air here, right?
Yeah.
One of the first times in my life I really realized, like, oxygen deprived. I realized this is not good air. This is not what I'm used to here on the 23rd floor in downtown Baltimore when I open the window.
Right. Well, you may not have been oxygen deprived because basically if you're outside, you got all the oxygen you need. However, there are other particles in that air that are no good for you, right? And so no different than carbon monoxide is probably a lot of carbon monoxide in that air because of the burning. And so, you know, if you had like something going on, and there was other things that, you know, the forest fires and fires bring to the table from a, you know, particulate matter that are, you know, impacting the quality of the outside air.
Well, so dude, not only could see the sun 6 months ago here, you would look up and see the halo over the sun from fires 3,000 miles away.
That affects
all the air quality in our country, literally, right?
That's exactly right. But let's stay focused on indoors because, quite frankly, for, you know, the last 150 years, we've basically been killing ourselves. And nobody's paid attention to indoor air quality. There are great scientists out there, brilliant scientists, especially here in Maryland, at the Bloomberg School of Public Health and at Hopkins, you know, Hospital, and at the Maryland, University of Maryland School of Public Health, brilliant scientists that have been sort of banging the drum of outdoor air or indoor air and the quality of it and why it matters so much. In Baltimore City, the number one reason that a young child goes to the emergency room is asthma. So you think about it. You have poor air quality in much of our housing. Some of that is related to the lead paint and the materials that were used to build those homes. Some of it's related to, a lot of it's related to the fact that those homes aren't well ventilated. So think about it. You're a child, you live in West Baltimore, you know, you go to school, more than likely you're oxygen deprived throughout the day. You leave, you go home, more than likely, you're oxygen deprived, and the indoor air quality, whether it be dander from a rat or mice or other things like that, that are in the house, and or you've got a stove that's gas stove, but you don't have a fan above it. So,
or if you don't even have a vacuum cleaner to get it out, right? Like, if you're never vacuuming or your vacuum's half-assed, you're not pulling anything out of the air, right?
Like, and literally. So these kids with asthma, you know, we're like a asthma hotspot in Baltimore, and especially for children. And the reason is because they go to school and nobody's measuring the air quality in those classrooms, and they are becoming oxygen deprived probably by 10 o'clock. The levels of CO2 in those classrooms are way above where they should be. And so, like, really what we want to do in the world of indoor air is make indoor air better than outdoor air. It's the right temperature. It's got the right level of humidity. It's got the right levels of oxygen and or CO2, right?
But more than that, it's been filtered, right?
And it's been filtered, right? So we have the opportunity. Outside, you can't filter the air. We actually have the opportunity as a species to advance to a level where indoor air is just as comfortable, is properly humidified, right? And plenty of oxygen. It could be better than the outdoor air. And that's what our product does. We are very fortunate. We have been getting great advice from scientists about our product Visionaire. We have an installation going forward at 100 South Charles Street. It's a 11-story office building, the old Bank of America tower. There's two towers there.
See it right out my building.
People know where it is. That's exactly right. We're doing the first installation of Visionaire beyond our beta site, which was our office here in Remington. And it's great here. We've got great comfort. We've got plenty of oxygen and we've got the right humidity. And so we are, you know, applying that to, buildings. And let's talk about that for a second. great podcast not too long ago, scientists from Harvard, the Harvard Healthy Building Institute, talking about what's the most expensive cost in a building. And what it is the people's salaries in the business world, right? That's the most expensive cost. Poor indoor air quality has been linked to productivity. It has been linked to cognitive function. There are peer-reviewed papers out there that say anything above 700 parts per million, every 100 parts per million you go up, you lose cognitive function. That's an international study.
Teach me this. Like right now, I'm in my condo. I had the windows open last week or whatever for a couple minutes or whatever. We vacuum. You know, we have a cat. We live up high, yeah. So the air that does certain. If you came in here right now, what is your measurement tool? What is your little Ghostbusters thing that reads the air that you bring in? And give me, if you were to come and just measure my space, what does it look like when you do that?
Well, outside right now is probably about 400 parts per million of CO2, which is, you know, the best it can possibly be for every animal on the planet, right?
400 is the best.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's going to be around there. Some places it could be 300, you know, some places it could be lower than that, but it's generally around 400.
Lower is better in this vernacular.
Well, it's that like just ERA. Means more, okay. That just means more oxygen available, right?
Okay, fair
and
enough.
So once you get inside, you know, and you're inside in your apartment and, you know, you use as much air as anybody out there, you know, with, you know, your breathing and how you do your stuff, you know, how you do your stuff. And so it's just going to go up. If you are in a room right now in your apartment and you don't have enough outside air coming in, your CO2 level is just going to rise every breath you take, right? I sit in meetings now, and I got a little like instrument that measures CO2, humidity, and temperature. And if I go into a room with six people, even in my office here, I bring seven people in here immediately. Not because we have the Vision Air in here, but if I didn't have Vision Air in here, it would immediately go to a level that would be unhealthy. Shelley Miller out of University of Colorado Boulder pretty much says like anything over 750 parts per million, you should sort of not be around. You know, it starts to become really unhealthy. And so, you know,
that's a stale basement somewhere with sort of dry air.
It could be where you are right now in your room. You don't know, right? And that's the problem is that we're not measuring the things that matter. Basically, every air conditioning system in the history of the world has been meant to do one thing.
Temperature.
And that was provide comfort, right? And so we got all of these buildings. We got an entire industry that's dedicated to mold remediation. And the reason that that happens in buildings is because we're not measuring humidity. If the humidity is over 60%, for over a 24-hour period, you will begin to grow mold immediately. And so what our system does is it doesn't allow that to happen. It basically manipulates the air conditioner or the system to be able to keep that down so that that would never happen. But again, it's like we're not measuring it in schools. We're not measuring it in buildings. We're not measuring CO2 in schools. I will praise Howard County. They measure CO2 in a lot of their cafeterias. But every classroom, every room where it's possible should be measuring humidity, CO2, and temperature. And if you get all those things right, you now have a healthy environment. And the only way to get all those things right is to fully control the conditioning equipment, right? Think about this. Air conditioning isn't cooling. It's air conditioning, conditioning that air to make it what you want it to be. We can send rockets to Mars, drop off a rover, drive it around, take soil samples and send them back here to Houston or wherever they're going. But we can't measure all the things that really matter from a, you know, human species perspective in the places we work, live, and play. We don't do it. And thank God for the pandemic that now there is this realization of, hey, we got to do this. And I'm so proud of the owner.
We all feel it when we wear a mask. We feel like we're getting less oxygen. I mean, that's obvious, well, right? Like every one of us has experienced some sort of deprivation of this over our nose. And we feel like we've been wearing this thing, you know?
Right. You know, like when you were born, you didn't have a mask on. So you're really not supposed to be wearing a mask. You're supposed to just be able to breathe. And, you know, this is why forest fires and outside air can be just as toxic as inside air. And inside air can be just as toxic as outside air. However, I would submit to you that, and to the viewing audience, that this is something we can correct. And as a result, our company is taking off. We're up to 22 employees.
Wow.
We've launched our Vision Air product. We're, you know, working on
it. Proud of you, man. I remember when this was just a concept, right? I mean, literally.
It was concept, yeah. We've gone from concept to beta to new installation. I'm telling you, the public is going to become aware of this problem, and they are going to demand that it get fixed. And there are great people. We went out, I built a, you know, I basically, Vision Air is a healthcare product. It's not, it's just like, you know, a drug that you might take. It's going through sort of, we're testing it, we're making sure it works. And, you know, we've got our beta site and that's all working out really well. But I went out and I got scientists on my team from Johns Hopkins Hospital, from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, from the University of Maryland School of Public Health, from UMBC, a woman who's in charge of pandemic response and who
and so
ran-
people never met anybody like you, right? Like there's not a lot of people that have ever sort of focused on indoor air quality in this way because of the plague, right? Literally, this is-
That's exactly right. And now I'm in the healthcare business now. I used to be sort of a wrenches, you know, sort of we turn wrenches, we maintain equipment. We are now a healthcare technology company. That's what we do. We are into the indoor air health for every building out there. These things pay for themselves. And here's another thing I'll tell you. You know, one of the reasons that we don't have a lot of circulation of outside air is because the outside air is shut down. And the reason for that is because, you know, the most expensive part of every energy bill in every building out there is the heating and cooling of the required outside air that the government says you need to put in your building, right? So it roughly they say 20% of the air ought to be, you know, coming in, ought to be new, right? But that costs money. If all we were doing is recycling air, we wouldn't have to heat it and cool it as much, right? Because we'd just be running the 72 degree air in a big circle through the unit, and we wouldn't have to heat it up much and we wouldn't have to cool it much. But since if you bring in outside air and you introduce outside air, the temperature either goes down or it goes up, right? So if 72 is where we all want to be, you know, and we're recirculating and we're not bringing in any new outside air, it's less likely to move from 72 up or down. And so going forward, you know, you want to, you know, if you're a real estate owner or you, most that aren't consciously doing this, obviously, but that's the biggest expense. People don't know this. The number one expense inside of the energy category is the heating and cooling of outside air. And so some people say, oh, you know, so now we're controlling how much outside air comes into the building based on real parameters, real health parameters that mean something. And so at 100 South Charles, they're going to be able to maintain the right amount of oxygen in every space in that building. They're going to be able to maintain the right range of humidity in every space in that building. And they'll have enough air exchanges to be able to do that. And so what we did is make HVAC, you know, the sad part is HVAC equipment, it's pretty dumb. You know, it just says, okay, I'm going to turn it up, turn it down.
That's what it does.
Well, turn it on, turn it off, deliver comfort. We can do much better. We can deliver healthy air with air conditioning equipment. Our team over here has developed a way to do that. We've got some of the best scientists in the world, literally in this subject area, that are on board with our product. I have a scientific advisory board I went out and sought the, you know, consultation of real scientists to ensure that the product that I was putting forward was going to be something that actually was going to have an impact on people's lives and their health in a positive way. We've gotten that confirmation. And how do I know I've gotten that confirmation? Because they're on my scientific advisory board. And they are very interested in not only doing studies with us, but seeing our product get put in as many buildings as possible. Because their mission, their whole lives, you know, whether it's, you know, Greg Diet or anybody else on the, is health, right? And they now see the opportunity to turn the tide and to make spaces that we live and work in healthy, because most of them are unhealthy. And the older they are, whether it's a school or anything else, the more unhealthy you might think they are. Look, Baltimore City Schools has done a pretty good job with what they have. You know, they pretty much got these air filtration units in every classroom, which is doing a good job of cleaning the air in the classroom. But it's not doing anything as it relates to making sure there's enough oxygen. And they know that. And they're looking at systems like ours to be able to come in and not only create a healthy environment, but create a healthy environment without blowing all this money on heating and cooling outside air. Because our system controls how much outside air comes in based on real parameters that matter for the people's health, as opposed to, you know, I'm just going to set my damper at this position and that's enough. And so it's a really exciting time to be in this business. There's a transformation that's happening. It's also a time where, you know, for us, trying to find people to come and do the work is a little bit of a challenge. You know, one of our clients said to us, a medical client said, no one's allowed to come on our property unless they're vaccinated. And so our industry is facing a mandate, and it's only going to get, you know, harder, where, you know, you have to be vaccinated to enter into certain buildings. And I can tell you, as you know, the new variants continue to evolve and we find out more about them, you know, now people are saying, oh, we were going to return in January. That's getting pushed out to March, you know, and
we're 2 years, you know, in, dude. This is getting heavy, right? For
right.
Everybody.
And right.
And the economy as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, we can't find things that we need to do the work, you know, like Flex Duck, which, right. You know, that's just flexible duck. You can't get it.
I hear, look, man, I had it's Bill Cole on from Cole Roofing, and he's like, you want your roof done next year? You better order it now. And, you know,
right.
My wife and I are about to move. Martin Knott is here. He is Advanced Indoor Resources. You can follow the whole journey at The Air LLC, TheAirLLC.com. The website has it right here. Comfort is critical to productivity. Health, including clean air, is critical to life. Give me a quick elevator speech on this because I got to run and you got to run. But just a note for people to know that if they're interested in this, they can go to the website, obviously. But absolutely. What is it that Air does primarily? Like right now, your inbound phone calls, people are saying and asking what?
So we are a healthcare technology company that maintains HVAC systems, plumbing systems, and building automation control systems. Building automation control systems essentially run the HVAC systems. And so we're doing great. We're a technology company. So one of the things that we're doing that nobody else is doing is we're digitizing buildings. I don't want one of my guys to show up at a building and not have all the information that they need to do their job. And so we're doing things totally differently than others. Recently, we just brought on Atlas, which is, everybody knows who they are. They're a wonderful restaurateur. They're run by people that care about our city. And
did my show over Watershed a couple of weeks ago. We did the crab cake.
A great restaurant. You know, I work with Alex on the Signal 13 board. We work with their family at Sinclair Broadcasting. And, you know, like, these are people that care about Baltimore. Clearly, they've got a great restaurant business. We had 2 meetings with them. We showed them what we're doing, and we're doing all their work now. And so 20 restaurants turned over to us in 2 meetings. Why?
A waterfront hotel.
Well, yeah. Well, and they're working on that kind of stuff too. But, you know, here's the deal. Why did that happen? Because they realized that we were investing in them to help them save money and to make our guys more productive. And I'll just give you a quick example of that. You call a plumber today. Okay. And that plumber shows up and he has to look at the part. And okay, I'm going to go and get it. And then he leaves in 2 hours, he comes back with the part, puts it in. We're not doing that. We know what part we need before we even show up. And we've got it all in a system that gives us the capability to show up with the part. So we're cutting out the discovery phase, which everybody's been paying for years. And so our plumbing division is exploding because we're doing things differently and we're saving our clients money. Our HVAC division is exploding because we've got great technicians and we've got technology. When our guys walk into buildings, they know what they need to get the job done. And then of course, Visionaire is taking off like a rocket ship. We're getting a lot of calls inbound about how do I get this in my building? I've got a medical office REIT that I'm going to be on the phone with at 1:30, and they're very interested in it for their building. So, you know, $3 million in revenue.
And everybody that calls, you know more than they do. So it's a really, it's an education process, right?
It's an education process. America needs to be educated. You know, business owners need to be educated. You know, like you got, you know, people's productivity falls in the afternoon. It's not because they went out and had a Pappas crab cake up in Cockeysville.
Or they need a Snickers.
Or whatever. It's because there's no oxygen left
right
in the building. And so we got a real problem on our hands, but there's great people that we're working with to help solve this problem. We're super excited about our future. And, you know, like we're hiring people in the city that live in the city and that look like our city. And we're really proud of the work that we're doing here. And it's an exciting time to be in this industry. And, you know, the more I learn, the more passionate I get.
And the more you get to share with me.
That's right. And the more I get to share with you, and you get to share with others, because we got to stop this. We need to improve the quality of the indoor air in every building and every home that we have in this country and on this planet, because that's the way we were built as a species, to be able to have as much oxygen as we need to make sure that every system in our body is functioning at max, you know, at its maximum.
And it has to be doing that for when the Dead's on tour for the outdoor shows too, right?
Well, you know, I mean, is there a healthier place on the planet than an amphitheater with Dead and Company playing and more oxygen than you could ever imagine? I don't think so, personally.
Got to get in the Merriweather next year is what we need to do. Martin Knott is here. Martin, I got to roll, bro. I tell you what, we're going to be telling the whole world about advanced indoor resources and air and our friends and locally and breathing better air. You know, I sort of jumped into this 7-8 years ago. My wife had leukemia and she was coming home and I was wondering what the quality of the air was. I know I told you that. So it did hit home for me, but I think it hits home for anybody in the aftermath of the pandemic and these masks and indoor spaces and shots and boosters and all that stuff. Martin's a great resource. You can find him at theairllc.com. Theairllc.com. It's advanced indoor resources. We'll spend some more time soon. All right. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Nestor. Good to see you, buddy.
Martin Knott joining us here. We're going to be bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour to you and my 30th anniversary. We're going to be in Catonsville at the Beaumont on the 9th. Don Moeller is going to be joining us on the 15th. That's a Wednesday in the afternoon. Going to Costas, back to the Dundalk homeland for my 30th anniversary. This week, we will be at Pappas in Cockeysville with a bunch of guests and a lot of fun. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking fresh air and Baltimore Positive.